This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Your host, Kevin Swanson, here. Father of five, Dave Buenaros, in studio with me. Broadcasting from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. Hanging on to some semblance of faith, family, and freedom in the demise of Western civilization. By the way, it's happening everywhere. Humanism, existentialism, rotting out the Western world. Muslims taking over in Europe. We have no idea what's going to happen in America, but a couple of Christians still exist in America. Hi, my name is Kevin Swanson. Dave's also over here. A couple of Christian dads. We actually use the Word of God to determine our ethics, our worldview. And I know that's weird. We're not Muslims. We're not Marxists. We're called Christians. And we get letters. We call for letters all the time on this radio program. You can email host@kevinswanson.com if you have any gripes, concerns, interests. You want to support the program, yeah, email me all day long. but I got a really interesting note from a listener in the U.K. He says, "Hi, Kevin. Listen to your broadcast with interest. Your take on national health care is very interesting. In the U.K., the National Health Service is held in high esteem among socialists and conservatives alike. Indeed, most conservatives, reformed evangelicals would support the National Health Service. As a local counselor and Christian supporter of homeschooling, doing the best I can to oppose local tyranny. Thanks for the interesting program, et cetera, et cetera." And, Dave, I think this guy brings up a really, really important point, and that is that people listening from different countries are going to have different takes on the issues that we're battling here in America. Granted, they've got national health care. They've had it forever and ever. I don't know how long they've had it. But they're socialistic, and they're more socialistic than we are. And the conservatives there are more socialistic than the socialists or the Democrats here in this country. And you'll see the same thing up in Canada as well, because socialism has been around a long time. It's been a while since Karl Marx took over, and the nations, the modern nations, were only consuming 5 to 10% of the GNI from the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. And then finally you get Karl Marx and Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and they said, "Hey, guys, let's increase the power of the state. Let's delegitimize the family and the church, and let's move all the welfare, health care, education, everything into the hands of the state." And then now you've got nations like ourselves that consume 60-70% of the gross national income at the federal state levels. And you have the same thing, of course, in Sweden, England, Canada, and so forth. They're all largely socialist countries because that's what Marx wanted. That's what Rousseau wanted. That's how you construct the modern world. You dissolve the family and you increase the power of the state. The family is not relevant economically. It's not relevant. It's not an issue anymore. It's not raising children anymore. And now 40% of kids are born without fathers. Divorce rate is through the ceiling. Shack up rate through the ceiling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The family is just a total mess, which is what it was designed to be from the intellectuals that built the modern world. Okay, so that's what happened. And you have some nations that are further down the pike than we are, and I would include England there. And you know, Dave, as we fight the socialist healthcare battle here in America, our friends in the UK wonder, what are you making the big deal about? We're actually just trying to keep homeschooling free and keep the Muslims from taking total control of this country. I mean, those are their battles. They have a hard time even configuring what we're trying to do here as we stave off the last few remnants of socialism that are dropping down over our systems. And I think socialism is an inevitability because the schools are socialistic. Until we can get people out of the schools, you're going to see socialism continue to march into your countries and take over your countries. Nevertheless, this socialistic, humanistic, existentialistic, materialistic worldview is tearing apart the Western world, and it will tear apart America as it has in Europe.
There's no question that the people in England are living under different conditions than we are. And so those in the UK who like their healthcare system, I'm happy for you if you can wait through the line and get your number and get taken care of. But we in America have had a healthcare system that operated on different principles. We're going to mourn the loss of that here pretty shortly, I fear. No matter what happens, doesn't look like it's going to happen for the good under the current plans and in the current administration. In England, there have been forces that have kept the government's control over the behaviors of the people somewhat in check. If healthcare goes in America, I do not believe those same forces are going to keep our federal government in check. In fact, I believe, and I don't think I'm being radical and tinfoil hattish when I say that the government's control over health care is nothing more but an attempt to regulate all behavior.
And bring about euthanasia, infanticide, and all the rest. I'm going to deal with the story in just a moment on that. But here's an interesting letter I got from another guy, Chris, in Canada. He writes, how did you come up to the conclusion that doctors and medicine were inferior in the USSR? What is your evidence that this is generally true? How much do you really know about the various medical systems in Europe and Canada? Anecdotal snippets from a doctor are not evidence. Having lived in communist Poland, albeit as a child, West Germany and Canada, I've never heard of any experiences anywhere near as bad as I've heard from the U.S. Admittedly, the Obamacare excerpts you mentioned are scary. Now, Dave, you know, again, the guy's asking for evidence, a little more than anecdotal evidence. And, you know, you've got all these studies out there, and you've got a lot of interesting things happening all over the world with these socialist healthcare systems. And, you know, again, I don't know how much of this is true. I assume all these things are footnoted. We've got stories, and we've got medical correspondents for major news services that are talking about these sorts of things. But out in the UK, we have now doctors that are concerned about the fact that there are patients with terminal illnesses that are being made to die prematurely. In a letter to the Daily Telegraph, a group of experts who care for the terminally ill claim that certain patients are being wrongly judged as close to death. Under NHS guidance introduced across England to help doctors and medical staff deal with dying patients, they can then have fluid and drugs withdrawn, and many are put under continuous sedation until they pass away. But this approach can also mask the signs that their condition is improving, according to these experts. As a result, the scheme is causing a national crisis, quote-unquote, in patient care. It has been signed by palliative care experts, including Professor Peter Millard, Emeritus Professor of Geriatrics, University of London, Dr. Peter Hargraves, a consultant in palliative medicine at St. Luke's Cancer Center in Guildford, and four others. Forecasting death is an inexact science, they say. Patients are being diagnosed as being close to death, quote, without regard to the fact that their diagnosis could be wrong. As a result, a national wave of discontent is building up as family and friends witness the denial of fluids and food to patients. That is, they are denying palliative care. Palliative care. We're not talking about denying drugs or surgeries. We're talking about palliative care. If anybody knows what palliative care is, it has to do with just the food and water stuff. It's keeping them with the basics to keep a guy alive. And that, by the way, Dave, that's not expensive. Even if you're hooked up to an IV, I calculated $60 to $80 a month. It's not all that much expensive. You can put somebody in their bed at home and give them IV fluids all month long for $60 to $80 a month in terms of how much it costs to feed them through the IV. It's no more expensive than giving them cornflakes every morning.
Well, you know, I don't want to contradict the expert, Dr. Millard, there, but it turns out that you actually can predict mortality. If you cut off food and water, you know, within the week.
Yeah.
So you can actually predict it pretty well if you kill them.
And Dr. Millard is a palliative expert here, so I'm guessing he would agree with you on that. You know, I think you're right there, Dave. You cut off food and water, they will die. I think that's been proven a few times.
So the predictions are actually quite easy. Yeah. You can get them right there in that first sigma.
All right, folks, our concern is government control of these things and the socialistic form of euthanasia that's inevitably going to attend any kind of a socialist medicine. In the Netherlands, another country with government-run healthcare, babies born before 25 weeks are not given medical treatment under certain conditions, and there have been four cases of infant euthanasia already. Okay, we're talking infant euthanasia, all right? Infanticide. There have been four cases of infanticide already in the Netherlands. Dr. Eduard Verhagen, head of the children's clinic at one of the government-run hospitals, stated in an interview, I love the way he says this, in extreme cases, the best way to protect life is to sometimes assist a little bit in death. I think that's interesting. Help it along a little bit.
And that's protecting what life?
Help it along. That sounds like the Nazis. We helped it along a little bit. They needed to die. We helped a little bit.
It sounds like George Orwell. You know, the Ministry of Death. You don't want to call it that. That's bad, bad marketing. You want to call it the Ministry of Life.
Yeah. For leukemia, the American survival rate, by the way, is about 50%. European rate's about 35%. And esophageal carcinoma, 12% survival rate in the United States, 6% in Europe. Prostate cancer at 81% survival rate here, 61% in France, 44% in England. Time wait for surgeries also. According to a paper by Commonwealth Fund, about 5% of patients in the U.S. wait about 4 months for non-emergency surgery, compared to 23% in Australia, 26% in New Zealand, 27% in Canada, and 38% in the United Kingdom. Now, Dave, this is all the evidence that I would produce for this fellow, Chris, who needs the evidence. He appeals to his anecdotal evidence as a child. Everything seemed to work out well in communist Poland when he was there. But Dave, you know, again, we're going to talk a little bit about how you prove whether or not a certain ethical approach to the funding of socialist medicine is better than another. Now, most people use utilitarianism. That is, whatever produces the most good in the long run is the best approach to take. And I don't take the utilitarian approach. And utilitarianism is not the approach for a number of reasons. And I'm going to talk about evidence. I've just produced a bunch of evidence that the American form of sort of a free market, it's not very free market, it's only about actually 30% free market, the rest of it is controlled by corporations and governments, but the 25-30% of free market we actually see in medicine in America is producing a better system here. The fact that America is not socialist, the fact that we did not do what Poland and USSR and China did, has produced the strongest economy in the world. Now, we have become more socialist in the last 20 years, 30 years, and because of that, our gross national income is starting to stumble, and we're going to have troubles in the years to come, and our debt ratios are through the ceiling. And yeah, just the fact that we have gone to a Keynesian Marxist approach in the way that we do our economies is ruining our economy. But thanks be to God, there has been something of a free market Christian approach to life that that ran our country until about, what, the 1940s, 1950s. Well, we'll be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about how you choose approach to economies. How you choose your approach to ethics in just a moment on Generations. Stay with me. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson talking about socialist healthcare, whether it's best for the United States or for the UK or for Australia or Canada, for that matter. We have a couple of people wrote into the program a little confused as to why we're making such a big deal out of the rise of socialism in America. I mean, why not the government controlling 98% of the people's income? Who cares? You know, it's a good government. You know, we just kind of work for the government. Everybody be part of the, whatever the government does. And the government controls every single aspect of our lives. Isn't that the way life is supposed to be lived? Well, folks, a couple of quick things. One is that you're going to find in the Word of God there are certain restrictions to the size of government. But Dave, again, the way that people look at these sorts of things, they say, the Word of God, how in the world does that apply to socialist health care? I thought we're supposed to run life by what produces the most good for the most people in the long run. I mean, that's utilitarianism. That's the way people have run government for the last 200 years. Someone walks in and says, no, it's not utilitarianism. It's a divine command theory. We're actually going to start with the Word of God as the standard for ethics and work off of that. People say, that's the wrong ethical theory. Come on. For the last 200 years, we've been studying utilitarian ethics, and we're just going to use utilitarian ethics. And, of course, Dave, the problem with utilitarian ethics, the idea that you're going to decide what to do by what produces the most good in the long run, is that nobody knows what the most good is. No one knows how to define good. What would be a good result? Nobody has a concept. What would be a good result? And the second problem is nobody has omniscience such that they would know how all of the factors and interactions and effects interact with each other such that they could decide which particular mechanisms would produce the most good in the long run. So we have two problems. One is we have no idea what good is. Secondly, we have no idea what would produce the most good in the long run. For example, Dave, you actually might produce some kind of a national socialist healthcare system somewhere in the world where it improves the medical conditions and the wealth of the nation for the next 35 years. But then for the 100 years or 150 years after that, the whole nation goes to seed because you decided 150 years ago that you would bring national socialist healthcare to that nation. So you have no idea. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the character of human beings well enough. Nobody knows the umpteen million possible interactions that could happen in a world that where you've got so many different cause and effects going on at the same time. Nobody has any idea what would produce the most good in the long run. It's a completely unworkable ethical theory. Everybody knows that. The philosophers that talk about it say utilitarianism is a total joke. And then they turn around the political science class and say, go ahead and try it. Use it. Because it's the only theory that we can work with. And then you have people running around and saying, well, look at National Socialist Medicine and in the USSR. Look at in England, there's huge waiting lines. Look at how many people are dying of cancer in France, on and on and on and on. And they say, see, we've got some pretty good evidence that National Socialist healthcare doesn't work as well as it works as the free market approach or the more free market approach works here in the United States. And yet, Dave, again, we're just arguing on the basis of the few data points that we have over the last 20 to 30 years that we've tried these things. And the socialists always come back and say, well, that's because we haven't really tweaked it well enough. The USSR socialist communist experiment didn't work because, you know, we just didn't tweak it enough. If we tweak it for the next 2,000 years, you know, a good utilitarian will say maybe socialism will work after 2,000 years of tweaking it. You know, you just got to get it working right. It just takes a little work to tweak this thing in. Well, that's, of course, utilitarianism. And in the end, nobody has any idea what would produce the most good in the long run.
Kevin, I think both are. You talked about divine command and utilitarianism. Both are utilitarian. One is utilitarian with God's command, and the other is utilitarian without God's command. And let me say this. The two questions, what is good, is answered by God's command. So we answer that question with God's command, and what will work out for the greatest benefit in the long run, well, that is defined by obeying God's command because he brings blessings. So you have utilitarian with God's command and utilitarian without God's command. Let me take a case study for a moment. Social Security. We said, as a nation, wouldn't it be great if old people didn't suffer alone? And we had this little fund. And we'll just take money from those who are earning money and give it to the old elderly so that they'll have some kind of retirement. And we'll pick at a retirement age. 65 seems reasonable because the life expectancy is 68. Well, you know what? For 30 years, that worked pretty good. Here's the problem. The problem wasn't that old people started having to eat dog food and to die because they were so poor. It was that the elderly broke relationships with their own children. They became independent and individualistic. Covenant was broken. And once covenant was broken, by the way, finances started taking a hit. And now the Social Security system will drive this nation into debt. Why? Because we had this noble goal, but we didn't follow God's commands about the utilitarian way to take care of our elderly. God told us how to do it. It was to love our parents, to bring them into our home, to care for them all the days of their life. And by the way, it wasn't to stop working. It was to work 6 days and rest the seventh until God takes you home.
Well, David, as you know, that social approach to life broke when relationships broke apart. And now the love of many has grown cold. That's the problem. A biblical system is based upon love and caring for one another and keeping the family together and hopefully getting at least a little bit of love within a family such that you don't abort 50 million of your own babies. And, of course, that generation where they lost 50 million of their siblings are going to wind up, you know, we know, euthanizing 50 million, maybe even 100 million of the babies. Baby boom in the Gen X generation in the next, say, 30, 40 years. So we know that's coming because the love of many has grown cold, and that's what governments do best. Now, we are not utilitarians, and utilitarianism is going to drive people, and pragmatism is going to drive people towards euthanasia and infanticide. We know that because inevitably that's the direction that governments will go. Because that's their ethical system. They ignore a divine command. It says, thou shalt not murder, and thou shalt not steal. Now, they're ignoring the thou shalt not steal command for the last 150 years of socialism. Of course they're going to ignore the thou shalt not kill command. And that's what we're seeing already. Dave, the Word of God actually bears out exactly how governments need to run. In terms of taxation, the Bible is very clear. The rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less. Boom. It's done. It's done. The rich shall not pay more. The rich shall not be forced to pay more by government fiat, by taxation, to support the cancer operations of the poor. Done. It's done. It's a done deal. The Bible says the rich shall not pay more in the taxes, and the poor shall not pay less. Boom. That's it. It's over. Taxation will not pay for these poor.
Well, there goes the whole progressive tax
idea. It's
so
gone.
So either,
and socialism.
Either you have to have a capitation tax, that's a head tax, where everybody pays the same amount, or perhaps you could even push that and say they all pay the same rate. Or you could do what we're doing now, and that's we'll just take it all.
Yeah.
We'll tax everybody 100%.
Exactly. In God's socioeconomic economy, my friends, according to God, and God is really smart. God's really wise. He's even smarter than Karl Marx. And I know that's a shock to a lot of you who've been doing this graduated taxation, socialized medicine thing in the UK and Canada for so many years. But I'm just saying God is really smart. I believe in God, and I don't believe Karl Marx is all that smart. I actually believe that a graduated income tax system and socialized medicine is wrong. It's called stealing. Now, a biblical system involves compassion, love, charity, voluntary, relationship-driven charity for the poor. That is where there is a direct connection between the giver and the receiver. That's a biblical system in handling the poor. And if you're gonna bring a biblical, if you're a Christian and you want to bring God's system of economy to life, you're going to have to adopt his social theory, his economic theory, his political theory. You can't have just one of them. You got to bring it all. We're not just free market capitalists here. We're not communists either. We're biblicists. Which means we believe that parents are the ones who raise children. And children take care of their parents in their old age. And charity is driven by a voluntary system whereby the widows and orphans are cared for by the neighborhoods, by the families, by the churches, not by the federal government. And the purpose of government, you want to know what the federal purpose of government is? It's not charity and welfare. It's to go after the bad guys. It's to be an agent of wrath for God against those who kill others. And they execute the Genesis 9:6 requirement, and they put the bad guys who murder people to death. That's what governments do, Romans chapter 13. And Dave, one of the reasons why it's really scary when you give the ministry of mercy or charity to a government who is designed to kill people, in the end, you know that government is going to wind up doing most of the euthanasia and infanticide because that's what governments do best. They bear the sword, and the Bible says they don't bear the sword in vain. That's Romans chapter 13. So as we look at all the evidence that we have produced here to prove that socialist medicine is not working as well in Australia and New Zealand as the halfway sort of free market system works here in America, folks, what we're saying is that who cares about evidence? It just proves utilitarianism. And utilitarianism, there is no way you can establish what is good and what would be the most good in the long run. I mean, maybe what would be the best good in the long run is, according to these socialist utilitarians, would be to eliminate all these old people at 64 years of age when they begin to develop a problem with hives. Okay, well, maybe that's the best thing for the economy. And that's the way the utilitarians and pragmatists are going to argue. That's the way they always argue. We don't argue that way. We go by the Word of God, by the law of God. And so in the end, we don't trust evidence. In the end, we trust God. And it's a question as to whether or not God exists and God is trustworthy. And if he's not trustworthy, and if he's not to be feared, and if you're just going to look at evidence, then you're going to create a society that won't fear God. And probably in the end, you're going to see your empires come crumbling down because the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God. Okay, we're going to start there. We're going to start fearing God, trusting God, assuming that he knows what he's talking about when he establishes economic systems and says, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. And that's going to drive us as we get involved in politics in these various areas of life. Okay, so we're going to trust God. We're going to say God defines, and we're going to trust how he defines our ethics. And then God blesses us, as Dave mentioned, God blesses us for walking in his ways. That's Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Very clear. Any society that trusts God, that walks in God's ways, that obeys God's commandments, God blesses those societies. It happens again and again and again throughout history. And again, we trust God. We trust that the reason why we're blessed is because God blessed us. And we trust that what we're doing is right because Our hearts are led by, controlled by, the law of a transcendent God who says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. We believe that those things are still in stone after 3,000 years.
Not only are those in stone, but the first commandment is still in stone. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That doesn't mean any other gods that precede me. That means no other gods. Under my gaze, no other God should exist, including the state God. If God in the heavens is the one who provides all good things, and he claims to in his word, by the way, if he is the one that gives us health and gives us wealth, who gives us love for our children, then it would be wise to serve that God only. The problem with a socialist system, a socialized medical system or a social security system, is that we make the state the God, and we say the great state will provide. And we look at one little bit of evidence or another bit of evidence. You know what? There might be a billion factors, and the most important factors are not the ones that we're looking at, which is how much love is there towards my brother? How much love is there towards my God? How much fear of God is there in my heart? Those things don't even, we don't have metrics for them, and yet they're the most significant.
What we've been talking about today, my friends, is the basic thesis of my book, The Second Mayflower. An ethical construct whereby you establish your social systems. Where are you going to go? Marx's manifesto? Keynes and his fractional reserve economic system? I don't think so. We're going to go to the Word of God. That's our standard. If you don't have a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, which is the vision, which is the real thesis of what we're trying to discuss on this program, as we lay out a vision for our children and our grandchildren in the years to come and try to salvage civilization and some of our freedoms in the years to come, I would encourage you to grab a copy of that book at our website, kevinswanson.com. Again, the book is The Second Mayflower, the website, kevinswanson.com, where you can also hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Pliers. Is your toolbox complete? Add some critical thinking tools to your kit as you listen to Worldview Academy's Bill Jack with simple tools for brain surgery.
During a debate on origins, Cornell University professor Will Provine, a well-known evolutionist, stated, "There are no gods or purposive forces, no life after death, no basis for ethics, no ultimate meaning in life, and no free will." Assuming he is correct, what question should we ask him? That's right. What difference does what you're saying make in your life? Or, so what? After all, if evolution is true and there is no basis for morals or ethics, then what difference does it make whether I help the little old lady across the street or run her over with my car? Why even debate the issue? If there's no free will, then I can't change his mind and he can't change mine. So what? Another simple tool for brain surgery.
To add more tools to your kit, call 1-800-241-1123.